So this is God's holy word. To the choir master, according to the Gittith, a psalm of the sons of Korah. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Selah. Blessed are those whose strength is in you and whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. May God be honored at the reading of his word. You may be seated. So there are some well-known books that have become movies. You may have heard of them. You may have read the books. You may have seen the movies. The Lord of the Rings. Who is familiar with these stories? Who's heard of them? Yep. Some are familiar. So in these stories, there's a ring. It's a special ring. It has magical powers to rule for whoever holds the ring. And an evil lord made the ring, lost it, and then a humble little hobbit creature found the ring and needs to go on a journey to destroy the ring and thereby save this fictitious land. And as you go through this story, you see that the concept of a pilgrim on a journey. If you're familiar with the story, this will resonate with you. They have to go, the small band of people have to go a long way in a very dangerous land in order to fulfill their mission. It's a long journey. It is very dangerous. So they are very well aware that they are pilgrims on a journey. So a pilgrim, this idea, I looked up a definition on dictionary.com. A pilgrim is a person who journeys, especially a long distance, to a sacred place or a special place as an act of religious devotion. It also could be defined as a traveler or wanderer, especially to a foreign place. So as Christians, this idea of being pilgrims helps define who we are. There are many ways we could think about our pilgrimages. We are on a journey to heaven through this life. We are on a journey home to God. And a key part of this concept of being a pilgrim is that we are not home yet. We are not home yet. Do you feel that this year as it turns into a new year? As you think back on this past year, as you think about the new year, where there's many things on our mind. It's diseases are on our minds, right? Family challenges are on our minds. Maybe job or school is on our minds. Kids, you're about to start back at school soon? Yeah, it's always a bummer, isn't it? So we know that we are not home. This world really makes it obvious that this is not our home. So in this journey, as pilgrims, all of us desire something. We desire a sense of belonging, and we desire happiness, right? Don't we all desire that? Who doesn't want a sense of belonging in home? Who doesn't want happiness and joy? Christians, those who have trusted in Jesus and are following Jesus, we know where to find that sense of belonging and that joy. So here at this church, we're a new church entering a new year, Grace Fellowship. In this year, let's make Psalm 84 a guide for our journey. We're going to come back to this psalm a few times throughout the year, and I hope both as a group we will do this, and I hope also personally you will take this psalm as a guide as we go into the new year. We all need a guide, right? If we're on a journey, we need a guide to journey us through. I think Psalm 84 is a great guide for us. Can teach us many things, teach us how to pray. And in this psalm, we will see today, and I hope we will see all year, that God is inviting us to journey with Him. He's inviting us to join Him on a journey. And He's inviting us to find our joy and our happiness in Him. So today, I'm going to give a shorter sermon than usual, so that's good, right? Be a good thing. Because after the sermon, we're going to spend some extra time praying through this psalm, okay? So today will be a little different, slightly shorter sermon, a little more prayer time. I do have one point of application for the sermon. I'll go ahead and give it to you, okay? So the one application for this sermon is I want to invite you, everybody, to memorize and pray this psalm this year. You got a whole year. Only 12 verses, 365 days, I don't know. Is that maybe memorizing two words a day? I'm not sure. One word a day? Okay. I'll take your word for it. So I'm going to encourage you, invite you, certainly don't have to try to memorize this psalm, pray this psalm all year, and I think it'll be a good guide for us. So there are three sections in the psalm, and so I've found three things that we can pray for this year. Okay? Would you all like to journey with me? On the back of your bulletin, there should be a space. If you like to take notes, you can use that. Should have a pen. So the first thing we can pray for, looking at verses 1 through 4, is that we today and all year should pray for a longing for God. It's the first thing. Pray for a longing for God. Let's check this out. Look at verses 1 through 4. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4 again. The psalmist says here, as a pilgrim, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God." I'll stop there for now. So we are pilgrims on a journey. Back when this was written, there was a command in the Old Testament that all men had to travel wherever they lived in the kingdom to Jerusalem. This is in Deuteronomy 16, 16. Three times a year, they'd have to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Certain festivals and feasts, they would go back. So this is a psalm for the journey back to Jerusalem. And the psalmist has a longing for this place. Notice what he says, verse 1, "How lovely is your dwelling place." The place God dwelled at that time was in the temple. There was a temple in Jerusalem. That was where God made himself known. This world is sinful. God cannot be with sin, but God made a place where he would be able to dwell with his people who would come to him by faith. So the psalmist is saying, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts." He says he longs, yes, he faints for the courts of the Lord, to be in this place, in this temple, the place where God dwells. He longed for it. He deeply and earnestly desired to be where God is, in the courts, in his house, in the dwelling place of God. And he cannot even contain himself just thinking about it. It says that his heart and his flesh sing for joy to the living God. So he longs for the courts. He longs to be where God is. It's not really the temple that's special. It's the God who's there. Then look at verses 3 and 4. Even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. So the psalmist says this place is so special. Even a lowly bird can have a home there. A sparrow, a swallow. They can make a nest there. Maybe on the outer courts near the pillars. And so one point of application as I thought about this was that we, as God's children, God's beloved children, if a bird isn't denied to be where God is, surely his children are never denied to come to him by faith. And he will receive them. Everyone who trusts in Christ. So even for you kids, I want to especially speak to you that God cares about you even more than he cares about birds. God cares about each one of you children, and he would love nothing more than for you to come to him by faith in Jesus, and he will receive you. He will receive you. Jesus says, "Let the children come to me." Let the children come to me. Jesus doesn't want to keep children away. He wants you to come to him. So I encourage you and I invite you that these sermons, this church service, this is for you too. It's not just for the adults. This is for you. It's a beautiful thing when a child trusts simply in God. So I want to encourage you, children, that God loves you. So, as we see here, this first point, that we should pray for a longing for God, there's a reason why God gave us this psalm and other ones like it. Do you ever long for the wrong things? I don't just mean daily kind of longings, like I'm hungry, so I long for lunch, but an ultimate type of longing. Like all your desire, all your yearning for one thing. Do you ever long for the wrong thing? I do. Perhaps you have now or have in the past longed for a new job, but it hasn't come yet. Or you're longing for a new relationship, but you're still alone. Maybe you're longing for better health, but you're still hurting. So we all long for the wrong things. And this is why God gives us Psalm 84. He invites us to pray this psalm so that we can remember that our ultimate longing, our best longing, is for God. So has anyone ever thought about what the word blessed means? So verse 4 says this, "Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise." So the word blessed has a very rich meaning. It's a sense of wholeness. It's a sense of happiness. It's a sense of prosperity, not financial, but prosperity in your relationship with God and in your relationships with others. This is what blessed means. So it says if you want to be blessed, if you want to be happy and prosperous in all your relationships, verse 4 says, if you are blessed when you dwell in God's house, when you long to be in God's presence, you will be blessed. So this is a prayer we should pray. Pray that God would give you a heart to long for his presence. So let's move on to our second thing we can pray for, verses 5 through 8. So we pray for a longing, a yearning, a desire for God. And second, we pray for joy in God. We should pray for joy in God. So let's see what it says here, verses 5 through 8. Blessed are those whose strength is in you and whose hearts are the highway to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. So let's see how the pilgrim is described here. in verses 5 through 8. The pilgrim, it says here, they have hearts that are the highways to Zion. Zion being Jerusalem, the place where they're journeying to, right? That's where they're going. So it says their hearts are the highways. It's kind of a strange phrase, right? What does it mean? It means they really want to go. They're not just going because it says in Deuteronomy 16, I gotta go, and all the other guys are going, so I better go. No, they want to go. Remember, they're longing to be there in God's presence and with God's people. So their hearts are the highways to Zion. It says they go from strength to strength. That's what a pilgrim does. The strength comes from God for this journey that they're on. So this Valley of Baca, no one really knows where this is, but it is obvious that this place being described in verse 6 is a place that is dry, a place that is desolate. But what does it say about this place? It's a place of springs. It's a place for joy. I read one commentary about this from Charles Spurgeon, and he said this, "There are joys of pilgrimage which make men forget the discomfort of the road." There are joys in a pilgrimage that make you forget the discomfort of the road, right? So where does this joy come from? We're supposed to pray for joy in God. One thing that I noticed from this psalm is there are many different names of God in this psalm. I saw 9 different names of God in this psalm. And I think each one describes a different aspect of who God is. So we see that God, when it says he is the Lord of hosts, the Lord God of hosts, we should think that God is strong. We should know that God is strong. He's the Lord of hosts. He has heavenly armies who obey his command. He is strong. This should give courage to a pilgrim on a journey. The psalmist says that he is my God, my King, the living God. This should let us know that God is personal in our lives, that God is active in our lives. This should give comfort to a pilgrim on a journey, that there is a God who cares about you. And there's a God who will be active in your life. And finally, where it says, God of Jacob, the Lord God, God, we should remember that God is faithful. The Lord is God's covenant name. He's made a covenant. In the Old Testament, it was a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He made a promise to them that he would bless them. And in the New Testament, we know there's another covenant that God made with his son, Jesus. He promises to bless anyone who believes in Jesus. It's a covenant through the blood of Jesus. We will celebrate that later with the Lord's Supper. So as we think of in this psalm of a pilgrimage, there are all these different names of God. I think it can teach us that joy is found in knowing God personally. Joy is found in knowing that he's strong, that he's active, that he's faithful. So use those names of God this year to help you grow in your relationship with God. And it will grow your joy in God. So we should pray for joy in God, but I just have to ask, do you ever find your joy or happiness in the wrong things? I do. I'm talking again about your ultimate joy, what you really are longing for and hoping for that will satisfy you in the deepest way. You might think that you can find joy in your spouse or in your children, but they will let you down. You might think you could have that deep joy in your career, but it will disappoint you. You may think that you can find joy in your hobbies, right? That's what you really want to do, the thing you love to do. But has anyone found that they're never enough? Might be fun, but they're still not hitting that deepest part where you're longing for joy. So we seek our joy in all the wrong places. And this is why God gives us Psalm 84, so that we could pray it and ask God to give us joy in him, where it's rightly found. And we can remember that He is the source of our joy. So would you be blessed this year in 2022? Find your strength and your joy in God. As it says in verse 5, blessed are those whose strength is in you and whose hearts are the highways to Zion. So our first two things we can pray for. Pray for, well, I have to go back to my notes. Pray for our longing for God, right? Pray for our longing for God. Second, we should pray for our joy in God. And finally, pray for our trust in God. We should pray for our trust in God. Verses 9 through 12. So he says here in verse 9, behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. So the pilgrim here is praying for the king of Israel. So we don't know exactly when the psalm was written, but there would have been a king from the line of David who is described as a shield and as the anointed one, the one especially blessed to look after God's people, to protect God's people, to lead them into God's presence. So this is what the pilgrim prays. And then as we look at the next few verses, verses 10 and 11, we see a lot of things that take trust for a pilgrim. Let's look at them. It takes trust to know that God is better than anything in this life. He says, a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. It takes trust for us as believers to prefer to be a lowly servant of God than to be the greatest person and yet not know God. Look what it says. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. That takes trust in God and in His promises. It takes trust to know that God is your light and your protection. Verse 11, the Lord God is a sun and shield. It takes trust to know that God gives favor and honor. The Lord bestows favor and honor. It takes trust, and this one might be hard, to know that God isn't holding out on you. He's not withholding something good from you. It says that no good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Those who trust in Him, those who desire to live for Him, those who are His people, He's not going to withhold a single good thing from you. Not even one. No good thing does He withhold. That takes trust when there's that thing we think we really need or want. So all these things are received by faith. But I wonder if we ever trust in the wrong things. Perhaps we could trust in a politician. Perhaps we could trust in our bank account. Perhaps we could trust in a pastor or a religious leader. We should not trust in any of those things. We trust in all the wrong things, and this is why God gives us Psalm 84. Because He invites us to remember that He alone is trustworthy. So would you be blessed in 2022? Look at verse 12. Blessed is the one who trusts in you. You will be blessed as you trust in God this year. So we are all pilgrims on a journey. In just a few minutes, we'll get together to have some extra prayer time. But I think deep down, we all know that we fail in our pilgrimage, right? As pilgrims, we fail. There are times we don't long for God. There are times we don't find our joy in God. There are times we don't trust God as we should. But there once was a pilgrim who longed for God deeply. There once was a pilgrim who took joy in God fully. There once was a pilgrim who trusted God perfectly. And that same pilgrim, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took the punishment that we deserved for our corrupt longings, for our misplaced joy, for our failure to trust in Him. So Jesus is the perfect pilgrim of Psalm 84. Here are some ways He fulfills this psalm. His dwelling place is lovely. To be in the presence of Jesus is better than anything else. Jesus accepts the humble and the lowly, even a sparrow or a child or an adult. Anyone who comes to him, Jesus will accept you. Jesus' grace is sufficient to let us go from strength to strength on our journey through this life. It is through the blood of Jesus that God will hear our prayers. That's the only reason God will hear our prayer. It's because Jesus shed his blood for us to remove the guilt that we had before God. Jesus is our shield. He protects us from the wrath of God. Jesus is our anointed king who brings us back to God's presence by his death and resurrection. A day with Jesus is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Jesus withholds no good thing from his beloved friends. Blessed is the one who trusts in Jesus. So, let's pray to him. Let's thank him that he is that perfect pilgrim. Let's commune with him today and this year like never before. So Grace Fellowship, I'm inviting you, all of us, let's make Psalm 84 our guide for this year, for 2022. Let's memorize it. Let's pray it this year. If you're curious of just an idea of how you can do this, memorizing it particularly. So Lindsay and I pray together in the mornings. We usually have a scripture we read and then pray together, very just for 5 minutes. And what we're going to do these next 6 weeks, we're going to take 2 verses per week, and we're going to try to memorize them. And every day during the week that we pray together, we're going to pray those 2 verses. So this upcoming week, we'll pray verses 1 through 2 every day. And we'll be working on it too. We might write it down on note cards. We might write it down and put it up on the window where we brush our teeth. Or not window. Mirror, that's the word. We'll see it over and over again. We'll write it down several times. And then hopefully by week 2, we'll be on verse 3 and 4. We'll have 1 and 2 down. We'll move on to 3 and 4. So that's just one way. If you're interested in memorizing these verses, that's one way you might be able to do it. So let's pray Psalm 84 for your longing, for your joy, for your trust. But as we pray this year, let's not just pray for these things for ourselves. Let's pray them for each other. Here at Grace Fellowship, we're one body. We're one family. So we should desire these good things for everyone in our church. So here's what we're going to do. After I close us in prayer, I'm going to have us circle up, and we're going to do it in 2 groups. So this side of the room, let's try to make a circle with our chairs, and we're going to pray. And then this side of the room, you guys can kind of make a circle with your chairs. And we're going to pray. What we'll do is there are 3 sections of the psalm. We'll have somebody in each group read the first section. And then just leave space, 3, 4, 5 minutes for people to pray. You can pray silently. You can pray out loud if you're comfortable. And then after a few minutes, move on to the next section. Read it and pray. Does this make sense? Sound good? We got it? So we'll read each section at a time, we'll pray, and then I'll come up at the end and we'll sing a song together. So let me pray to open up this time of prayer. Father God, we just want to thank you for Psalm 84. Lord, thank you for your word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, Lord. We would be in darkness if it was not for you and your word. And if it was not for your son, Jesus, the perfect pilgrim. Lord, thank you that Jesus walks with us, that he walked with us in 2021. And we thank you that he walks with us now in 2022. So, Lord, lead us to pray these prayers. We pray you would be honored in this time. And, Lord, may we be blessed as we trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.